Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on crime is a growth industry, right after this. Well, Joe Smith starts the day early, having set his alarm clock, made in Japan, for 6 a.m., and then while his coffee pot, made in Japan, is perking, he puts his blow dryer made in Taiwan to work and shaves with an electric razor made in Hong Kong. He puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan, and his designer jeans are made in Singapore, and a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. After cooking up some breakfast in his new electric skillet, which was made in the Philippines, he sits down to figure out on his calculator, which was made in Mexico, how much he can spend today. Then after setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out and gets in his car made in Germany, and then goes looking, as he has for so many months now, for a good-paying American job. Then after the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while, so he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, turns on his TV made in Japan, and then ponders again why it is that he can't find a good-paying American job. Now, instead of a good-paying American job, why doesn't Joe look for a good-paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request. That's for the free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about crime as a growth industry. Last time I pointed out that there are crimes being created right out of thin air. Driving down the street with your handheld telephone in many locations is now a crime. Everyday activities that we do, like getting in our cars and driving down the street, is a crime because you didn't buckle your seatbelt, or you didn't buckle your kid into his child restraint, or. Now, there was a time when crime was something that you did to somebody else. You had to violate somebody else's space. You had to cause somebody a loss to his life, liberty, or property. We get that from the Bible. If you take a look at the Ten Commandments, all of those are crimes. All of those are crimes against somebody's person, papers, houses, or effects. Now, there is still in America a basis for our jurisprudence in damage to somebody's life, liberty, or their property. But we also have a jurisprudence where we have crimes by contract. So when you get a driver's license, you have contracted into a criminal activity. The license of and by itself is a crime, because the definition of a license is permission to do that which is either illegal, unlawful, a tort, or trespass. So if you got a marriage license, you got the license because you wanted to commit a crime. If you got a driver's license, you got a license because you wanted to commit a crime. You got a business license, you wanted to commit a crime. That's why you went to a superior agency, a superior authority, a superior God, to get permission to violate some law, some rule, some regulation. So what law was it that you wanted to violate when you got your driver's license, marriage license, or business license? What law did you want to violate? You wanted to violate the Ten Commandments. And you needed to get permission to do that. And you needed to get permission from some superior authority to do that. And you did. And you're a criminal. So there's a God here called the State of Missouri. And they license people to go out and break the law of the God of creation. I know it sounds kind of crazy. I didn't make it that way. I'm just a reporter here reporting to you. That's the way it is. And so the state then gives you permission. Let's take a look. There's a law in the Bible that says, thou shalt not eat pig. I don't know if you knew that or not, but most pig-eating Christians don't know that. So I just thought I'd tell you. It's in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. All right, so a guy named Jimmy Dean, he wants to go out and he wants to sell pigs. So he goes to the state of Missouri and he says, look, I want to open a factory and I want to process pig and I want to make Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. Now, you could not go to Moses and get a license to sell sausage. You couldn't get a license from God, the Creator, now, to sell pig. So you go to a different God. You go to the God of Missouri and you say, well, we'd like to sell pig. And the God of Missouri says, well, if you'll pay us some money, pay us a fee, we'll give you a license. We'll give you the benefits and we'll give you the protection of the police power of the state to protect you in this enterprise. But you got to cut us into the profits. So we want to tax you on this enterprise. And they do. And they tax the Jimmy Dean Pure Pork Sausage Company. It's a corporation. And they got corporate taxes, and they got payroll taxes, and they got licensing fees, and they got all this. But they're legal. See, they can go out in the marketplace, and they can sell you this product, which is prohibited by your Creator. And in fact, most of the laws that the state enacts, they're enacted for the purposes of trade, commerce, business, or industry, which affects some public interest. Not all of them are illegal by any stretch of the imagination, but many are. Now, why should it be illegal for you to drive down the road, to travel from here to there in the usual and ordinary conveyance of the day? And if you don't have the state's license, it should be a crime. Now, it is. I mean, in this state, if they catch you driving your car down the road without a license, they're gonna bust you. They're going to put you in jail. And so I got to ask, well, why do you want to put people in jail for doing something as usual and ordinary as driving their car down the road? And right away, you know, the do-gooders, they jump up and down. They say, oh, my God, the guy might not be competent. Well, what did we do with people 100, 200, 500, or 1,000 years ago who were operating their usual and ordinary conveyances down the road and they were incompetent? What did we do then? How did we handle it? Because there was a time in America when you got on your Studebaker or your Conestoga wagon hooked up to four horses out in front of you. And you drove, that's why they call them drivers, you drove your horses, you see. And so they called you a driver. I don't know why they call you a driver in your automobile today, because you're not driving anything. You may be operating something. You know, you're operating a machine. Seems like to me you should be called an operator, but they call you a driver. And you're driving your team of horses down the road. Now, let's suppose these horses get uppity and they start racing down the road, and there's a kid crossing the road, and the horses run over the top of the kid, and they kill him. Well, that was pretty common. Did you know that there were more people killed in 1900? That's 100 years ago. Go back 100 years. We're using horses. More people in America were killed by horses per capita than are killed by automobiles today. Horses are much more dangerous than automobiles. And we never licensed anybody to operate his horse and buggy or to ride a horse down Broadway in New York City. But today we license you to drive your car down Broadway in New York City, and if you don't have a license, we'll probably lock you up in jail. So how did we handle people back in 1900? And the answer was a damage to their life, liberty, or property. If you ran over somebody with your horse, then you hurt them, you had to pay for it. It's called strict liability. Then if a pharmaceutical company made a drug and it harmed somebody, like Vioxx, that person would sue them and make them pay damages, called strict liability. Well, a guy by the name of Dick Armey, a couple three years ago, he was retiring from Congress, and so he put a rider on a bill so that now if a pharmaceutical company makes a vaccine and the vaccine harms you, you cannot sue that company. I'd like to have a law like that passed. I would like to have a law passed that protects the law, the law industry, the school, the law school industry. When we take your tuition and you come to our law school and you're damaged in any way, you cannot sue us because there's a protection built in by the Congress of the United States. I'd like that. I think that's a good law. That way I could cause you a damage and you couldn't sue me. But is that right? Should it be that way? You know, used to be in this country that if you caused somebody a damage, you know, then you'd have to pay for it. You know, you'd probably get sued. Now, this leads us then to, well, why is it that way? And that's because the Congress of the United States and the legislatures of the several states are in the business of money. They're in business. Those are businesses. The United States of America is a big corporation. It's a big business. The state of New Jersey is a corporation. It is a big business. And it is in the business of business, and the business of business is making profit. And they do that. They do that. And they have customers. Now, governments have customers. They're called taxpayers. And they're selling those taxpayers a product. And the product that we're talking about here is law. Law enforcement. We're selling you law enforcement. Now, all of us can see the benefits that we derive from government when they protect us from murderers. You know, people that are running around on the streets, shooting people off the street corner. We can see the benefit that the police department provides to us when they go out and they find or they arrest some guy because he's running around on the streets. There was a guy, two of them, in fact, here in Virginia here a few years back, and they were snipers. And these two guys were killing people. They're just shooting them for fun. You'd be filling up your car in the gas station, and this guy had a gun in the trunk of his car, and the driver, his accomplice, would drive into position. And so he would open the trunk up just a crack, stick the gun barrel out just an inch, take aim at you, filling up your car with gas, and shoot you. And then close the trunk and drive away. Well, the police got right on that, and it didn't take very long either. Hell, in a couple of weeks, they caught these two guys. They come to find out they'd probably shot, I don't know, 6-8 people, killed 4 or 5 of them. And so the government comes along and says, now look what we did for you. We caught those two guys that were out shooting you off the street corners, and we're going to take care of those guys, and we're going to put them in prison, and we're going to save you from them. And we can see the value of that. Now, how much does that cost? Boy, that costs a lot of money. It took a lot of policemen, a lot of man hours, and it took a lot of tax dollars. That probably just that one crime, you know, 7 or 8 crimes, but just that one case probably occupied the hours, the man hours of thousands of policemen. And the FBI was in on the act, and the state police were in on the act. It costs a lot of money. And I think most of us would sit here and say, well, it did cost a lot of money, and that's why we have government, and that's why we have a lot of taxpayers paying the money in so that when a deal like this, see, because the average Joe six pack, I couldn't spend that kind of time, effort, and energy hunting those guys down, finding them. Hell, Matt Dillon would have had a hell of a time finding those two guys. Maybe John Wayne and Matt Dillon together would have had a hell of a time. So we sit there and we say, well, that's probably worth the money. All right, so now government comes along and they say, well, now, see, we're providing you this valuable service, and so therefore, pay attention to us, boys and girls, because we have a lot of other good valuable services, too. We can protect you from ignorance. We covered that in the last program. We can have compulsory education laws. We can protect you from drugs, driving, alcohol. Then we're going to pass laws, and we're going to go out and enforce those laws. Let me give you an illustration. Now in California, when you go to build a house, it costs you $30,000. $30,000 to get all the permits together. Now that's before you ever pour any cement or before you do any site preparation or do jack squat. Just the paperwork on building a house in California. Now, what that means for every homeowner in California is that $30,000 of the value or price of your house is in the administrative cost that you have to pay for government to get all the permits together. It's probably real good for the environment. See, the government comes along and says, we can protect the environment. We can protect you from global warming. We can. What government is telling you now is, we, governments around the world, can regulate the temperature of planet Earth. If that isn't a God-like stance or a God-like claim, I don't know what is. It used to be in the hands of God to control the thermostat on planet Earth. That's not what Al Gore's telling us. He says, oh no, we got global warming going on, we're going to cool it off. It's too hot. I didn't know how hot too hot was, and I didn't know how cold too cold was, but now we have government stepping in and they say, we're going to protect you from that. We're going to create crime. We're going to create, you know, if you pollute, if you're putting too much CO2 into the atmosphere, we're going to fine you. We're going to punish you. And we're going to regulate the temperature on planet Earth. I don't know. Hell, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe that's something that you want to buy. Because you people in California wanted to buy the $30,000 regulatory process on building a house. 50 years ago, we didn't have that. Anybody could go out and buy a piece of ground, build a house. You didn't need a building permit. You didn't need anybody's permission. You didn't have zoning and planning. Now, evidently, there was something wrong with the process 50, 100, 200 years ago. Something went haywire. I don't know what it was, but something did. Somebody woke up one day and said, we need zoning and planning. We need building permits, electrical permits. We got to have plumbing permits. We've got to have environmental impact studies. And as a result of that, it now costs $30,000 to get started on building the house. And maybe it's money that's well spent. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't. I'll let you decide, you know, what it is you want to do. But there was a time in America when ignorance wasn't a crime. There was a time before public schools. So let me take a look here, or let's just take a look here at what public school costs. In America today, we spend $500 billion a year on our public education system. 100 years ago, we weren't spending that much, and 150 years ago, we weren't spending anything. Nothing. So evidently, 150 years ago, we must have had a lot of ignoramuses running around on the streets that were threatening the very survival of the Republic. Somebody woke up and said, we need a law to save the Republic. We need public education. So in 1838, I believe it was, or 36, in Boston, somebody got the ball rolling called public school. And they started this public school thing. And I remember reading a book in 1886. There was a guy named Zach Montgomery. And he wrote a book on the poison needle. No, the poison something. The poison education, the poison or something. The Poison of Education, I think, was the name of his book. 1886. They were trying to put public school in California. And they did. The people of California voted it in. They said, hey, ignorance is a threat to the existence of the state. We've got to have knowledge, wisdom, understanding, public school. So they said, okay, we've got to have public school. Now, they made it a law, and they made it a crime. If you didn't send your kid to public school in 1887, 1888, 1890 in California, we're going to punish you. We're going to put you in jail, take your kids away from you, do something really bad, wicked, terrible, awful, or evil to you because you got dumb, ignorant kids. Zach Montgomery raised the question. He said, so what? So what? Now, you can sit there and say, well, I didn't like his arguments. Well, okay. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion, that I'd like my children to be just dummies, ignorant, stupid. So what? Why do you care? Why are you concerned about my children? Last program, I pointed out the Amish. Remember? I said, you got a case here called Yoder versus Wisconsin, and the Amish people, they're dumb. They're ignorant. Those people, they probably don't know that Mexico borders the United States on the south. There aren't any Amish paleontologists, archaeologists, and engineers. They're all farmers, and they're all making a living. They're the only people in America, to my knowledge, that can go to a farm auction, bid $400,000 for a farm, open an attaché case, and pay for it with $100 bills. I don't know of any Catholics that can do that. I don't know of any educated. I don't know of any people that have degrees after their names that can do that. But the Amish can. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, people that can run around opening attaché cases and pulling out $400,000 to pay for a farm, what in the hell do they need to go to college for? Henry Ford only went to the sixth grade. He made $30 million in 1930. What in the hell does he need a business degree from Harvard for? Frank Rocha could never read, could never write, made $1 million in the dairy business. So what if he couldn't identify a Brontosaurus thigh bone? Or couldn't find Azerbaijan on a map? Or didn't know who Osama bin Laden was? So what? They seem to be able to pay their bills and get by just nicely. So I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, what is this education thing? I mean, we Americans have got this education thing in our brain, and we just cannot imagine somebody living his life in America without an education. I never went to college. I'm uneducated. I'm illiterate. I get letters here all the time say, you know, you use four-letter words. I always tell people, you know, yeah, that's true. But there isn't anybody out there that doesn't understand what I'm telling them. Everybody can understand me just real plain. And I don't have to use any five-syllable words. I use all one-syllable, four-letter words. So they say, well, that guy Gordon over there, he's illiterate. Why, if he didn't use them four-letter words, he couldn't express himself. Well, that's true, but everybody I express myself to understands plainly what I'm telling them. I haven't received a single letter. I've been on this 25 years. Never received a letter from any of my students. Ever said, Mr. Gordon, we can't understand what you're telling us. It's right up, way over our heads. No siree, Bob. I'm trying real hard to make just as plain as I can. That's why I'm asking these questions. You know, we do this. I mean, we all know that you got to go to public school, and if you don't, you're going to be dumb. And if you're dumb, that's a crime. We're going to lock you up in jail if your kid turns out to be dumb, or if you even want your kid to be dumb. But I got to ask you, what's the purpose of criminalizing an ordinary activity? Just living your life, being dumb, is now a crime in America. And so we're real excited about this, and I pointed this out to you last time. I said, you know, Bill Bradley, he used to be a senator. I think he was from New Jersey, I think. Senator Bill Bradley, I believe he was. Anyway, Bill Bradley, he got real excited, and he said, well, look at our students today. You know, these students, you know, they're kind of dumb, and they don't have a good knowledge of basic geography, and so therefore we need these children to be better educated. And I'm sitting here asking the question, okay, that's probably a good idea, Bill. But why should we make it a crime if they're not? And the answer is because it's economic. The answer is we're trying to employ all these school teachers. We have created a $500 billion a year industry called education. And we're in the process of creating another big industry called the crime growth industry. Now, our crime growth industry is only $42 billion a year, way behind our education industry. But government can see the profit. It costs in the neighborhood of $10,000 a year per student to educate a child in public school. So we send our children to public school. We pay $10,000 per kid to send them to public school. And we do that because if we don't, it's a crime. A crime. So we're all sending our kids to public school. Now here's the results that we're getting. 25% of the students tested in Dallas could not identify the country that borders the United States on the south. 39% of the students in Boston could not name the six New England states. 45% of those tested in Baltimore could not respond correctly to this instruction. On the attached map, shade in the area where the United States is located. Similar geographic weaknesses were discovered in a survey of college students conducted by the University of North Carolina. When asked to identify the two largest states in the United States, fewer than half could name Texas and Alaska. Almost 80% couldn't name the two smallest states in the United States, Rhode Island and Delaware. So Bradley concluded, this news is frightening. Bill Bradley, Senator Bill Bradley, was frightened because people could not name Texas and Alaska or Rhode Island or Delaware as the two largest and two smallest states in the nation. We depend on a well-informed populace to maintain the democratic ideals which have made our country great. When 95% of some of our brightest college students cannot locate Vietnam on a world map, we must sound the alarm. We cannot expect to be a world leader if our populace doesn't even know who the rest of the world is. All right, let's pause right there and think about that. Back in 1850, before we ever had any public schools in America. Think of this now. No public schools in America. We are not spending $500 billion a year. We're not spending $500 million. We're not spending $500,000. We ain't spending $500. Did the people of America in 1850 know that Texas and California were the two largest states in the Union? Did they know that? And if they didn't know that, was that a threat to the Republic in 1850? Evidently, nobody thought it was because it was never brought up that I ever saw, that I ever heard of. Of course, maybe I'm one of these ignorant guys. Now, I was institutionalized for 12 years. I mean, I was crammed through the public school system. I got my high school diploma. You know, and I know that Rhode Island and Delaware are the two smallest states in the Union. Okay, I got that. Hell, I can even find Azerbaijan on a map, and I can shade in the United States, and I know that Washington, D.C. is the capital. But just because somebody else doesn't know that, so what? And why do we want to criminalize their ignorance? And why is it that we want to force these people to send their children to public school? And the answer is because it is business. It is the education business of America. It is a cash cow. It employs millions of people. It is a slush fund of god-awful, unimagined proportions. Let me show you why. In America, we spend $10,000 to educate a child for 1 year in a public school. Okay. It's 180 days. Let's take $10,000. I'll plug it into my Sharp EL1197 here, and let's divide that by 180. That's $55.55 a day. Boys and girls, it costs you about $56 a day to lock somebody up in jail, and it costs you $56 a day to lock somebody up in public school. Now, in our prisons and jails, we have 2 million inmates. And those 2 million inmates are a cash cow paid for by the taxpayers at the rate of $56 a day. The public education system has right at 50 million students locked up in these institutions. We've institutionalized 50 million children at $55.55 a day. That's 56 bucks a day. That's a cash cow. That makes a lot of money for the education industry. It makes a lot of money for the crime industry. Now, we have been convinced that both of these are absolutely imperative. We have to have it. Now, looking back at 1900, for every 1,666 people in the United States, we had one person locked up in jail. Today, we have one person locked up in jail for every 210 people in our population. That's eight times more people locked up. In 1900, we didn't have anywhere near as many people engaged in our public school system as we have today. I don't know what the numbers were. I didn't look that up. But we could probably assume, safely, I would say, that we had that today we probably have eight times more people per capita locked up in our public school system than we had in 1900. But my question to you is, why do we want to spend the money doing that? Now, to show you what this is costing you, there's 300 million people in the country. And we're spending $500 billion on public education. That's $1,666 per person. For a family of four, that's $6,666 that we're spending in taxes to educate people that probably, in many cases, do not want to be educated. I was one of those. When I was 16 years old, I did not want to be educated. And you people sat there and said, well, yeah, when you're 16, you don't want to be educated, but we know what's better for you, so we're going to force you to be educated whether you want to or not. Okay, you did that. You did it. And I don't know if I'm better off for it or worse off for it, but you spent your money and you educated me. Now, if that's what you want to spend your money on, well, get after it. And I guess we Americans want to spend our money on education at the rate of $1,666. Now, the President of the United States says that we're going into recession. And to prevent this recession, he's going to send you $600. And now he's instructed you, take your $600 and go out and spend it in the economy. And go buy something so that we can keep people employed, making those things for you. All right. That's $600. Now, if we close down all the public schools in America, every individual would have $1,666, roughly three times as much, to stimulate the economy. And you could go spend that money on something else. Let me ask you this. If you had $1,666 right now in your pocket, and you had this choice, you can spend this money on paying a school teacher's salary to educate some kid that doesn't want to be educated, or you can spend the $1,600 on a carnival cruise, which would you choose? And while you're mulling that over and thinking about it, let me give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let's take a look now at these three biggies over here. The law enforcement growth industry is a $42 billion a year industry. Education is a $500 billion a year industry. And automobiles and traffic, I don't know what the number is, but it's also a many, many hundreds of billions of dollars are spent on fines and laws and rules and regulations and highway patrolmen and judges and prosecutors to prosecute for all these crimes. Now, 100 years ago, we didn't have any of these traffic laws. Well, might have had a few, but not very many. But we find that by passing more and more laws, like I started off the series and I said, in Springfield, they put a camera up at Glenstone and Sunshine, so that they could take a picture of your car going through the red light. And I showed you that it's impossible for anybody to have an accident running the yellow light. It's crazy. But they get a fine. See, and I think that fine is $130 for running the red light. That's a money maker. That's a profit maker. It doesn't have anything to do with health, safety, and welfare. But we claim that it is. And the same thing is true with education. See, we claim that if your child is ignorant, why, he's going to be a threat to society. Well, I showed you from the Amish experience in Yoder versus Wisconsin, that's poppycock. Poppycock. We're told that Bill Bradley, he said, oh my God, we've got students over here that don't know the two biggest and the two smallest states in the Union. That's a threat to our democracy. I don't believe it. It wasn't a threat to our democracy in 1850 before we had public school. So why is it a threat today after we've got public school? Because now you're spending $500 billion a year and your students don't know the two biggest and two smallest states. In 1850, you weren't spending anything and your students didn't know the two biggest and two smallest states. So what did you gain by spending $500 billion a year? Huh? What did you gain? You're locking up 8 times more people than you did in 1900. Are you safer today? Well, I don't think so. No, I think that you were safer in 1900. I think that the average person could walk down the street in New York City with less risk of being mugged, less risk of having a crime committed against you than you can today. And you got 8 times more people locked up. And that's because you got your police out here enforcing all of these non-events. I mean, the cops are out here writing traffic tickets, for crying out loud. They're not out chasing rapists, robbers, and muggers. Now, it is true that they do that once in a while. In fact, they might even do it very often. But my point is, we're spending all this money, but we're not getting our money's worth. So I got to ask the question, well, why do you want to continue spending the money? I don't mind spending the money to find those snipers, but I'm dubious about spending the money putting cameras up to fine people $130. Now let's think about this pragmatically. Every time we fine a guy $130 for running the red light, which is a non-event, it doesn't harm anybody's life, liberty, or property. It's true, it puts money in the coffers of our city government. But every dollar you put into the dollar of the city government over here, you're taking out of the coffers of the merchants who are selling the stuff on the streets. Well, President Bush wants to give you $600 to stimulate the economy, remember? All right. Well, doesn't that tell you that obviously the government has taken $600 out of your pocket in taxes? And now they recognize their mistake, and they're saying, let's give them back the $600 to stimulate the economy. That's why the income tax is regressive. It's not progressive, it's regressive. That's why all these fines out here are regressive. They're not progressive. That's why the public education system is regressive. It's not progressive. You're not promoting the health, safety, and welfare of the public by putting people in jail, punishing them, and spending $500 billion a year on education. Your children today are dumber than they were in 1850, and you're spending $10,000 to educate a kid in public school to turn him out to be dumb. I did that one time with my lawyer. We had a law firm representing our company. And we paid them $5,000, $6,000 a year as a retainer. And then we had to pay them and hire them in addition to that if we had a case. But this $6,000 a year retainer that we were paying them went on for 6 years, and we paid them $36,000. We had 3 cases come up. And our law firm went in and argued these 3 cases for us and lost 3 out of 3. This made me then take a look at our corporate program as it related to our law firm. And so I sat down and I said, look, we spent $36,000, and the objective was for our law firm to advise us, to keep us out of trouble. We didn't want to go to trial. We didn't want to go to court. We didn't want to spend a lot of time, effort, and energy arguing with our customers over practices that may or may not be legal or illegal. We want to avoid that. So the purpose for spending $6,000 a year with the law firm is to keep us out of trouble, which they failed to do. We got into trouble 3 times. Now, we paid $5,000 each of these 3 times to get us out of trouble. I'm paying you $6,000 a year to keep us out of trouble. Now I'm going to pay you $5,000 to get us out of trouble. Failed 3 times. In 6 years, they failed to keep us out of trouble, and the 3 times we got into trouble, they could not get us out of trouble. So we spent $36,000 and $15,000. How much is that? That's $50,000. We spent $50,000 on our lawyers, then on our law firms, and our litigation, and we just lost. So I woke up one day and I said, you know, we don't have to spend anything at all on our attorneys. What we'll do is we won't pay any attorneys anything. We won't get any legal advice whatsoever. Every time we get into trouble, we will go into court and we will argue and fight and we will lose. And when we do, it will cost us nothing. we will save $50,000. We're gonna get into trouble, and we're gonna lose every time, but it'll be free. And that's what I started doing. And then, to my amazement, the next six cases I did pro se by myself, I won. And I didn't get in anywhere near as much trouble as I did when I had the lawyers. I had less trouble and won more cases free than I ever did paying a lawyer and arguing the cases and losing. All right, now, I think that we could do the same thing with education. I think we could close down every public school in America and turn out 50 million absolutely dumb, stupid kids who cannot tell you that Mexico is the nation that borders the United States on the south, or that Texas and Alaska are the two largest states, or that Rhode Island and Delaware are the two smallest states. They won't know. They can't answer the questions. They're dumb as a box of rocks, and I don't think it's going to change anything, because you're spending $500 billion a year, and they can't tell you the two biggest and the two smallest states, and they can't identify Mexico on the south. I think you can turn out that kind of ignorance and stupidity free. I don't think it costs a dime. And I'm going to recommend to you people you try it. I think being ignorant and stupid is bad. I don't think that's good. But I don't think spending $500 billion a year, $56 a day to educate a kid and turn him out to be that dumb is very smart either. So mull that one over a little bit and see where that takes you. Then let's take a look at the law enforcement growth industry a little bit different. And ask ourselves, do we really want to lock up every dummy who goes around smoking dope? I'll concede to you that dumb people that don't go to school and can't name Mexico on the south, or Texas and Alaska as being the two biggest states, I'll concede that's not good. I think everybody in America ought to know that Alaska is the biggest state in the Union. Honest to God, I think they should know that. But what if they don't? Do we need to spend 56 bucks a day? I don't think so. Now listen, if a guy wants to know what the biggest state in the Union is, if a guy wants to know that Rhode Island is the smallest, he could go find that out. If he wanted to know, he could go ask somebody that does know. Hell, he could go pay somebody that's smart and have them tell him. That's the way we do our taxes. I mean, there isn't any of us out here that could do our own tax return. I tried it, and hell, I was too damn dumb. I had to go to an accountant. And so you're sitting there saying, well, huh, you poor dummy, if you'd have gotten educated, you know, you could have filled out your own tax return. I'm so damn dumb, I quit paying taxes. I woke up one day and I said, this filling out tax returns and paying taxes costs a lot of money, so I quit doing it. It saves a lot of money, saves a lot of time, effort, and energy. I could teach you how to do that. And I think that this law enforcement growth industry, I think this criminalizing ordinary activities. Look, being ignorant, being stupid is an ordinary, everyday, garden variety activity. Hell, we're all ignorant. We don't have to make a crime out of it and lock people up in jail because they ain't sending their kids to school to get stupid. We can let our kids just get stupid free. It doesn't cost anything. That's my point. I know it's radical. I don't deny it. I know it sounds like it's crazy. But hell, I'm just telling you what you already know. I just suppose that nobody ever said, hey, that emperor over there riding that horse is naked. I guess nobody ever pointed that out to you before. The emperor's riding around on the damn horse. He ain't got a stitch of clothes on. He's naked. So you can sit here and tell me about all the benefits of public school. I can tell you that education's good. I think education has a value. I'm an educator. I run a school. I don't think everybody should go to school here at the Gordon Law School. We're pretty careful about who we even let in the doors. I tell people regularly, I say, I don't think this is for you. I don't think you're going to benefit from this at all. I think you better go hire a lawyer. I think he knows 15 things that you could probably do over here that would be of greater benefit to you. And I don't think everybody should go to college. I don't think everybody should go to school. Now, Henry Ford went to the sixth grade. I don't think Henry Ford should have gone on to high school. I don't think he should have gone on to college. He didn't. And he didn't starve to death. He was doing quite nicely for himself. I didn't go on to college. I didn't need to, didn't want to. I shouldn't have, and I didn't. And I'm not a burden on anybody. You know, I'm pushing 70, boys and girls. I'm not on Social Security. I'm not on welfare. I'm not on food stamps. I'm not costing you people anything. I make it a point to support myself. I'm criticized. I'm ridiculed. I'm made fun of. I'm stupid. I'm dumb for not taking my Social Security benefit. Hell, if I took them, it would be less for you. By leaving it there, I'm leaving more for you. And besides that, I haven't got the time to waste on that pittance. And I'll tell my students, and I'll tell you the same thing. If you're making less than $100,000 a year, if you're making a dime less than 100,000 Federal Reserve note dollars a year, you're wasting your time. I don't care how much education you got. I wouldn't get out of bed for less. I don't have a high school. Well, I got my GED, you know, but I never graduated from high school. I guess I got my high school diploma. I never went to college. But I can tell you this, not everybody can excel at academics. And we need plumbers and carpenters and electricians and farmers. God bless the Amish. We need farmers. Food prices went up 25% last year. We don't need more paleontologists and archaeologists. We need more farmers. Has that ever dawned on anybody? When was the last time you went to the paleontology store and bought some paleontology? When was the last time you went to the archaeology store and bought some archaeology? Wake up! We don't need that crap. We don't even buy it. We don't even use it. Oh, it's kind of interesting. I like to watch Nova. And I like to watch them dig up some bone out of the ground and tell me about it 65 million years ago. And then listen to the fairy tales that come out of it. You know, 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs were wiped out and became extinct because there was an asteroid or a meteor or something hit the Yucatan Peninsula. And then I like to listen to Nova tell me another lie when they tell me about how the sun is burning up at 5 feet an hour. And then I do the arithmetic and I say, gee, 20 million years ago, if that's true, then the sun was 93 million miles in diameter, and it's 93 million miles from the sun to the earth. So therefore, the sun must have already consumed the earth, and it doesn't exist 20 million years ago, but 65 million years ago. The dinosaurs were wiped out by an asteroid that hit the Yucatan Peninsula. Now, come on, kids. Can you wake up and smell the coffee? You send these fools to college, you give them an education, they get a degree after their name, and they can't count. They can probably find Mexico on the southern border, but I would contend that we need more Amish guys out here producing beans and wheat and corn and beans and honey and oil and the stuff that we need. I don't think we need any more paleontologists. I think we got more education than we can pay for. And then some guy came along the other day and he said, well, the reason our kids are stupid is because the ratio of teachers to students is too high. We got to have more teachers. Okay. I explained that to you in program number one. You know, the police chief goes down and he tells the city council crime increased by 5% last year. So we need 5% more money, 5% more policemen, 5% more patrol cars, and 5% more laws. Makes all the sense in the world. City council gives him what he wants. Next year, what do you get? 5% more crime. 5% more policemen are going to go out and execute 5% more laws and find 5% more crime, and it's going to grow 5% because that's what's programmed in. Come on, wake up, smell the coffee. Same thing happens with education. We got a bunch of dumb kids out here, so what we got to do is to hire more teachers and spend more money. So we hire more teachers and spend more money. And then what happens? Well, we get 5% more ignorance. You're saying, well, I don't make no sense. You're telling me it don't make no sense. My God, of course it doesn't make sense. So what in the hell are you spending $500 billion a year turning out kids that can't find Mexico on the southern border? Not that it makes a rat's ass one way or the other. You're spending $500 billion and they can't find Mexico on the southern border. Why don't you spend nothing so that they can't find Mexico on the southern border? But you'll have $1,666 more dollars to spend in the economy. You'll have $1,600 more to spend on food when it goes up 25%. It makes more sense to me to spend the money on food than to spend the money on a teacher. They can't teach the kid where Mexico is anyway. If the teachers could have taught these children where Mexico was, they would have already done it, wouldn't they? And the fact that they haven't tells me that if they haven't in the past, tain't likely that they're doing it now, and it isn't very probable that they're going to do it in the future. Do you mean to tell me that if you pay a teacher twice as much money, he's going to teach twice as much to your kid? Are you telling me that because the teachers are underpaid, that's why your children can't find Mexico on the southern border? Because you're only paying this teacher $50,000 a year. If we give him $100,000, he'll be able to find Mexico on the southern border. How come is it that you pay half as much money to the Catholic nun, and she can teach all them Catholics where the Mexican border is? Yeah, that's right. See, when you send a kid to public school, he will come out at the 50th percentile, and that's for $10,000 a year. But for $550 a year, you can educate that same kid at home, and he'll come out at the 86th percentile. Yeah, that's right. If you spend no money on the education, $550 on the program, you get a kid that scores at the 86th percentile. If you send him to public school and pay $10,000, he'll score at the 50th percentile, unless you send him to an inner city public school like Washington, D.C., or New Orleans, where he'll score at the 28th percentile. Boys and girls, the more money you spend on education, the dumber the kid gets. That's what you're buying. The more money you spend on crime, the dumber he gets. Public school is even by itself a crime. It hasn't educated us. It's made us dumber. We're dumber today than we were in 1850. Dumber. And it costs a lot of money to do that. All right, so let's criminalize ignorance, shall we? Let me give you a reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it at 417-273-4967. Again, that's 417-273-4967. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Hey, time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.